He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is the last Tuesday in October. And, of course, next Tuesday is the first Tuesday in November. It could be a famous date, an infamous date. We just don't know right now. Market a little cautious right now in front of what will promise to be a very contentious election next Tuesday. Well, we've got the Dow down 15 points right now. Not bad. 27,667. Of course, it took it on the chin yesterday for almost 700 points. The NASDAQ right now having a pretty good day. It's up 49 points, 11,407. It took it on the chin yesterday. We'll get to that in a bit. S&P 500 just barely positive right now, 0.1%. Today we've got Big Pharma reporting earnings. Not Big Farms. No. Pharma. The big pharmaceutical companies, and a few oil companies reporting here today. This is going to be a busy week of earnings reports. Wow. 183 S&P 500 companies will report. The small caps, well, they're about flat even, dead flat right now. The crude oil markets, which got pummeled yesterday, up 36 cents today, $38.92. Gold, up $1.80. to 1907. Gold is going nowhere fast. Silver down 70 cents. Hi-ho, silver away. It's going nowhere fast. $24.35 per ounce. And the bond market, which has seen a drift higher recently in rates, now it's starting to come back into that 0.75 area. We're at 0.79% in what is a very quiet bond market today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management on this fourth Tuesday of October. And, of course, next Tuesday will be the first Tuesday of November. You know, I can still remember in my memory the very first presidential campaign that I remember. I want to say it was Goldwater versus LBJ. And I had a father that, you know, he took voting very seriously. And, you know, every election we talked around my house and the pros and the cons and whatnot. And I've watched politics very closely my entire life. You know, in the third grade, I knew just about every leader of foreign countries around the world. I had a great teacher. Maybe they taught important stuff back then. I don't know. But I knew all the capitals around the world. Yugi rings the bell. You remember that? That's Budapest in Yugoslavia. And we learned all these little things. And I knew all about Rhodesia and the economic sanctions going on there. I was a third grader, for heaven's sakes. But I had a great teacher back then. Probably the one that really stands out that I really remember that got me interested in world and current events. And, I mean, ever since then, 8 years old, little boy, I've been watching world and current events. I've always been a huge fan of talk radio. There's hardly a night that goes by that I don't go to sleep listening to talk radio of different ilks. So, anyways, it's a fascinating world out there. And what I like is so much of this ties into, yes, you're right, the stock market. Well, yesterday we had a bad day in the market. The Dow was down 650. The NASDAQ was down 189. There's not going to be any stimulus before the election. You know, I thought it was silly that the market, every time Mnuchin opened his mouth or Pelosi opened her mouth, the market would trade up. I thought that was just kind of silly. I didn't really think there would be any stimulus, another stimulus package. How much more stimulus can we do? How much more money can we print? How much more money can we borrow? a trillion here, 2 trillion there, 3 trillion there, 4 trillion over here. It's just not good. I mean, I don't know. We'll see where it all ends up. But they're most very unlikely to see a stimulus package before Election Day. And after Election Day, it may be a while. I would like to see the market wean itself away from stimulus. But, of course, I know you've got the frontline workers. You've got the restaurant owners. You've got the beauty salon owners, things like this, people that have been hurt really hard by COVID. Well, anyways, that was one of the reasons the market sold off yesterday. And let's not forget, you know, I remember back in March and April and May, we were talking about a wave of COVID. I don't think it's as lethal as the first wave, but it is disruptive nonetheless. They're doing shutdowns once again in various countries in Europe. And that also has the market nervous. And let's not forget, I think as we sit here today, I don't really think anybody knows what's going to happen next Tuesday. It could be something we never even factored in. Who knows? That's the problem. Markets don't like uncertainty. And that phrase, who knows what's going to happen, has the market a little bit on edge, and that's why I continue to hold a few hedges in some very heavily traded, liquid, big ETFs. That they're just simply inverse, okay? I don't have a lot, just a few positions. You can buy the S&P 500, which is SPY. That's a big liquid ETF. It goes up when the S&P goes up. Or you can buy its inverse, SH, and it goes up when the market goes down. It's an inverse relationship, big liquid ETFs that can be employed. It's like shock absorbers. Let's call them shock absorbers. I mean, after all, I mean, hedge funds employ hedges from time to time. And if ever there was a time to hedge a little bit, I think now is the time. I think volatility is going to be with us here for a while. All right. Well, we had all that going on yesterday. Today, I would say the headline is Big Pharma Reports EPS. I told you this was going to be a very, 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 did I say very busy week of earnings reports. We are in the heart of earnings season. 183 companies, one-third of the S&P 500, more than one-third of the S&P 500, will report earnings this week. And we've got a bunch of them this morning that we're going to pick through. We've also got a huge deal in the tech space involving a company that we own here, at Gunderson Capital Management. We'll get to that in a little bit. How is earnings season going so far? Quite swimmingly. You know, when we began this all, earnings season a few weeks ago, several weeks ago, we were expecting earnings to be down 20% this quarter versus the same comparable quarter last year. And as of last Friday, that number has improved as companies have reported. We're now up to just 16% lower. Okay, we were 20%. Now we're expected to come in 16% lower than last year. And I would just say that that's probably going to get better as earnings season goes on. That seems to be the trend and the trajectory. And in fact, 85% of the companies that have reported earnings so far have beat their earnings estimate. This is unheard of. This is an unheard of number. We average usually somewhere in the 65% range of companies that beat their earnings estimates that the analysts provide. And right now, so far, the actual results, 85% of companies, maybe will have a record earnings beat quarter this time around. Europe not doing so well overnight. London down, Paris down 1.4%. Problems in France, spiking in COVID spikes. And Germany was down 0.9%. They're seeing COVID spikes. Italy is not only seeing COVID spikes, but a lot of actually rioting of people not wanting to be locked into their homes again. So you've got that going on, that backdrop going on in Europe right now. When we back, one of the biggest tech deals of the year, it's a massive one, and it does involve a stock that we own. And Barry, him and I have been going back and forth about this. We've written this stock up. We've got a little maybe a strategy on how to play this big tech stock deal. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Dow down 100 right now. It's nervous, 27,588. I can't say that the big pharma stocks' earnings were very impressive, but we'll get to those in a bit. Meanwhile, over at the NASDAQ, it's just barely up right now. So, yeah, it looks like we're going to kind of take the same course. I don't think we're going to see a big sell-off like we saw yesterday. S&P now down 6. NASDAQ is still up, but just 18 points right now. Okay, the big, big deal of the day, and it's a monster deal, AMD and Xilinx have entered into a definitive agreement for AMD to acquire Xilinx in an all-stock transaction. Valued at $35 billion. Now, when you do the math of where these two companies are trading at today, that would put Xilinx's value at about $143 per share. Where's it trading right now on the news? $124 per share. There's $19 upside potential in Xilinx if the deal goes through. Now, there was a similar deal like this a few years back when CVS, I owned Aetna. I did not own CVS, and CVS announced that they wanted to buy Aetna, the healthcare company. And for a long, long time, there was this huge gap between what CVS was going to pay for Aetna and Aetna's stock price. Aetna was trading at a huge discount to the buyout price. Now, why is that? Well, because there's a chance that the deal doesn't go through, right? Who knows? Maybe I've seen deals over this past year collapse because of COVID came along. I think that was one of the reasons why you saw Louis Vuitton drop out of the Tiffany deal. I mean, the whole economy and that part of the economy collapsed along the way, and they called off the deal. And there's been other deals where it just didn't, the antitrust didn't work out. The government said, no, you're going to be too big. Now, never mind that, you know, Apple's now a $2 billion company. AMD is just a $93 billion, or $2 trillion company, Apple. I mean, AMD's a small cap compared to Apple. It's not even $100 billion yet. It's $93 billion. So I honestly don't see much risk from the antitrust people on this deal. Now, Barry, who is one of the big members of the team here at Gunderson Capital Management, he's a chartered financial analyst. He analyzes deals. And he's a certified financial planner, so he comes in real handy in not only talking to my clients, but also doing the deep dive analysis, which I don't have time to do. I can see things on the surface and the valuation and the momentum. But when we need to do a deep dive, I sick Barry on the job. He came back with an interesting concept, which I kind of like myself. We own AMD. We don't own Xilinx. AMD has been our largest position, and it's been one of the biggest winners in the market over the last several years. Just a monster turnaround at AMD. They're just eating Intel's lunch. It used to be just the other way around. Intel used to dominate. AMD was a $1 stock at one time and really kind of on the ropes. As all of your laptops and iPhones and whatnot, they had Intel in them. Intel inside, right? Well, that was then. This is now. AMD's the king of the heap right now by far. Intel reported earnings last week that were horrible. The stock got crushed again. It's all about management. Well, you could make a case right now of owning AMD, which I still think AMD is very cheap. And Xilinx. I think that's not a bad strategy. Now, I haven't decided to do that yet. But what's the worst that could happen? The deal falls through and you own the two stocks still. And if you were to add Xilinx to the mix right now, you've got about 16% upside potential if the deal goes through. So that's an interesting concept. I will at least be looking into that strategy. We call that, Barry calls it, and I've heard this term, an asymmetrical payoff potential. I did it with Aetna. I didn't own CVS, but I held on to my Aetna because I just felt very strongly that they all was going to go through, and Aetna was a very good investment. So we'll be looking at that. But suffice it to say, a monster deal, and as usual, what happens? AMD is down 3.8% today. That's very usual for the acquirer. And Xilinx, XLNX, is up today, but just 9%, you see. It's $18 shy of the buyout price because of that risk of the deal falling through. So I see the deal happening, but we shall see. Okay, well, you heard about Schwab buying Ameritrade maybe a year ago, and now it's a done deal, obviously. TD Ameritrade no longer trades as a stock on its own, AMTD. And my current custodian is Ameritrade, but Schwab, I mean, slowly but surely over the next few years, they'll be converting over to all Schwab statements and Schwab paperwork and whatnot. Well, here's the downside of these takeovers. Schwab begins cutting 1,000 jobs from TD Ameritrade. I don't work for TD Ameritrade. They're just my custodian, and you want a good, strong custodian when you do business with an investment advisor. But I got to believe that some of the folks that I've been dealing with over the years and my back office has been dealing with over the years, Ameritrade's to lay off 1,000 people. They have a big presence in San Diego, a lot of employees in San Diego, and a lot of employees in the Dallas, Texas area. Well, Google, antitrust, you see, the antitrust department doesn't just let deals happen, although maybe they haven't really been watching too closely with Facebook and Google and some of the other big FANG stocks. The Google antitrust case has a status hearing for Friday. I think the government's pretty serious here with Google. When you control 90% of the search engine, and you know how dearly you have to pay for search words, and you know who, you know, I was telling my wife, Google changed their name to Alphabet. Google basically owns the alphabet, don't they? Don't they have the alphabet? If I wanted to buy the search term financial planner, you know how much those letters of the alphabet would cost me? Well, anyways, that's why you've got an antitrust case going against, and it's the biggest antitrust case. You got to go back to Microsoft for the last one. Okay, when we come back, tension with China increases tremendously. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now radio hour. Dow down 97.101 right now, 27,585. It hasn't strayed too far from 28,000 here in the lead up to the election. S&P 500 down 4 points. NASDAQ hanging on to a 33-point gain here so far. I noticed really good action in the China stocks today, which we own several of the big ones and a few of the smaller ones, and we continued on those. Now, speaking of China, it's a good segue into the next subject. There's extreme contention building over Taiwan. And we are going full speed ahead in arming Taiwan. And the reason I bring this up, it involves some publicly traded companies here in the U.S. But it also, you know, it outlines all of the contention out there, not only in our own country right now, but in the world. Boeing benefits as U.S. OKs a $2.4 billion more in potential arms sales to Taiwan. Well, on the surface, this doesn't sound like that big of a deal. But from a guy's point of view that's been following world politics since I was 8 years old, believe it or not, China is seething over this. I mean, I don't know what the repercussions will be. They're talking about sanctions against the U.S. on our defense stocks and whatnot. Now, obviously, this does help Boeing. Let's see how Boeing stock is doing today. Boeing was part of the sell-off in the market yesterday, and it's part of the sell-off again today. That's just a horrible stock to own right now. Boeing, good company, horrible stock. But you should just know that the move comes days after the U.S. approved the potential sale of three other weapons systems to Taiwan, which prompted a sanctions threat from China. So you should know that that's going on in the world right now. Yesterday I talked about Mirati Therapeutics, MRTX, which had very good news in their cancer tumor-fighting drug candidates. Mirati had a huge day yesterday, and it's having another big day today. It's one of the strongest stocks in the market right now, MRTX, $9 billion company out of San Diego, California. My old home, Mirati's up another 3.5% today, hitting a new all-time high. Now, here's what they do, okay? Here's how this goes. When these biotech stocks have a big day, they go to the well that night. Mirati Therapeutics launches an equity offering of $700 million, okay? That's called a secondary offering. They've got a hot stock. They're in the news, and the big Merrill Lynch guys and Morgan Stanley get on the phone and say, hey, we've got a secondary offering coming out on Mirati, MRTX. And these things are gobbled up just as fast as they can be. The problem is it dilutes the current shareholders. But suffice it to say, when these companies have huge days, you can almost predict that night they'll do a big equity offering. Okay, now let's look at Big Pharma. It seems like a big flop to me. I don't own any Big Pharma stocks. I did own AstraZeneca there for a while, and then I just didn't like the way their trials were going. I didn't like the way the stock, and I didn't like the way that whole sector, Big Pharma. You got to believe that a Biden victory would put Big Pharma in the crosshairs of price controls and whatnot. And it just doesn't seem like they're, you know, it seems like the individual biotechs are a much better way to go than I thought for a while that these big pharma stocks were becoming biotechs. And they are, but they're paying a lot for those biotechs. They are really paying up to try to stock their pipelines. I'm talking Lilly, Pfizer, Merck, etc., that should have been stocked to begin with. You've got to really pay up to stock your pipeline. And that's what's taking place at some of these big pharma companies. Now, Lilly had bad news. Their antibody, COVID-19 antibody treatment, came up empty. That's not good for a big pharma company. And Lilly also came up empty in their earnings report. That stock's getting killed today. Lilly is down 5.6% right now. That's a horrible chart on Eli Lilly. Eli's coming. The stock ain't, but maybe Eli is. LLY. And is Lilly a member of the Dow? I just got to look that up real quickly. I'm sure that is having an impact, whether it is or not. I'm sure it's having an impact today on the Dow stocks because there are several big pharma stocks in that index. Lilly right now, once again, down 5.6% as they get a double whammy, okay? I don't think Lilly is, but Pfizer and Merck are definitely constituents of the S&P 500. Lilly is not. Lilly comes up empty in their antibody treatment, which is basically what Trump had, but he had Regeneron's antibody product. And then Lilly missed on their earnings. Okay, 85% of the companies in the S&P 500 are beating their earnings estimates. Lilly is in the S&P 500. Lilly bucks the trend and misses their earnings estimate by a wide margin. So not a good deal there. Also in big pharma, Pfizer, which is a member of the Dow, they beat by a penny. Well, that's not going to get the investors too excited. And Pfizer's down 1.4%. That is a big part of the drop in the Dow. And the other Dow stock, big pharma stock, is Merck. Merck is up just a skosh, up 50 cents, 0.7%. Merck beat by 31 cents. So that's more in line with what the rest of the companies are doing right now in the S&P 500. 85% are beating their earnings estimates. Lilly becomes an exception, one of the 15% that misses their earnings estimate. But on the other hand, both Merck and Pfizer beat estimates. Now, we've also got a big oil stock. And I've been reporting here in my newsletter every week and on the air, what's the number one sector in the market right now, or one of the top sectors, is the renewable energy stocks. Wind, solar, fuel cells, lithium, etc. And guess what? The bottom of the heap. I track 66 sectors. The bottom of the heap, and it's been there for a long time, fossil fuels. Which also, with just a week to go before the election, a win by Biden would be bad for fossil fuel stock. Can anybody argue that point? And it would be good for renewable stocks. The solar, wind, and hydrogen fuel cell, etc. Can anybody argue that point? And that's, I mean, if you're looking for any clues from the market, I would just say that the market doesn't really know who's going to win right now. But there's obviously a good deal of money going into the renewable energy stocks and a good deal of money coming out of the fossil fuel stocks. If you're just tracking the money flow, that's all I'm doing. I'm just tracking the money flow here. And that sticks out like a sore thumb to me. Okay, one of the biggest winners that we ever found, it's on my wall of fame in my office, Dexcom was unbelievable disruptor in the diabetes industry. Dexcom was one of the greatest stocks I ever found. Now, I still own a little Dexcom in my buy and hold ultra growth portfolio. We have huge gains in that stock. But along the way, I have trimmed my position in the stock. I think Dexcom's best days are behind it. It's now a $38 billion company. Somebody had an idea for diabetics to wear a little device that would automatically measure their glucose levels and inoculate them with the drugs that they need at the right time. And it's an artificial pancreas. It's what it is that you wear on the outside of you, right? And when you need the insulin, bam, it provide you with the insulin. It was a breakthrough product. If you go to seekingalpha.com and if you look at the articles that I've written on Dexcom, just look at Dexcom. How long ago did we get on the Dexcom train? We were one of the first ones on it. And we have ridden that thing across the country on that train. They did report earnings is down 5.5% today. We still own a little bit in one of our portfolios. When we come back, our featured stock of the day coming up. You got to go the way you want to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio. That's right. You can choose from a lot of different money managers out there. You can go where you want to go. But I don't toot my horn that often. I just try to display my knowledge and experience in the market over the last 23 years. However, there is a metric out there. There is a grading system that ranks me. It's called tipranks.com. Now, I don't give out hot tips on the radio. I write articles, I publish a newsletter that lists everything that I own. And when I measured against 7,673 writers, bloggers, I'm considered a writer. I've been writing for years and years and years for the biggest publications out there in the financial world. I'm ranked in the top 1.5%. There's 98 and a half guys behind me and only 1.5 in front of me, and I've got my sights set on those guys. They better look out. I'm coming up fast. I mean, is that the kind of advisor you want working for you in the top 1.5%? Where would your advisor rank if he put out all of his tips and was transparent and had a radio show and wrote articles? I don't know. You have to ask that. Where would you rank yourself as a money manager of your own funds? I'm in the top 1.5%. And furthermore, now let's throw into that field all of the analysts out there at the big wirehouse firms, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, Wells Fargo. That's some pretty tough competition. There's 14,684, and I am considered in that bunch because I write. I used to be an analyst on Wall Street writing up research reports, and now it's more for public information, for the public. I'm trying to help the little guy. I ranked in the top 4%, 96 people behind me in line and only 4 in front of me of all of the analysts, money managers, research analysts, etc., that TipRanks tracks. I think that's pretty good validation for the combination of being a half-value investor and half-momentum and trying to combine those two into one stock and fill your portfolio with those types of stocks. In the top 1.5% of all bloggers and writers and in the top 4% of all analysts, research analysts, that includes the big wirehouse firms. Now, let me give you an example. Okay, Bill, give us a stock that meets your criteria right now of value and momentum. Well, one of the best examples I could give you is Tencent Holdings. Tencent Holdings is a massive conglomerate of a company. Yes, it's China. If you don't want to own Chinese stocks, that's up to you. It's almost a trillion-dollar company now. It trades on the U.S. stock exchange. It's $722 billion in market capitalization. You're not going to find that many companies that big that have been growing their earnings over the last 5 years at 27% per year. That's phenomenal. I mean, that's up there with Amazon and not even Apple. Apple is not a 27% grower anymore. That's rarefied air right there. You say, well, how much do I have to pay for that doggy in the window? Well, you know what? The PEG ratio right now is, actually, I don't have a PEG ratio on Tencent Holdings because they have the wrong growth rate on our data provider has the wrong growth rate in the data. I'm coming up with a way today to override these growth rates. That's the consensus growth rate on the street is 3.2%. That's malarkey. It's more like 20%. But having said that, Tencent Holdings still has enormous upside potential. It's been growing by 27% per year. Okay, my target price right now is off. I need to fix that. I'm going to override the growth rate that is out there. That's why I'm in the top 4%. I mean, the analysts are wrong about the growth rate of Tencent Holdings. The analysts were wrong back in March about earnings for the S&P 500. The analysts, for the most part, have been wrong for many years now. They're close, but they're wrong. But they're way off on Tencent Holdings. Tencent Holdings has knocked the ball out of the park as it relates to performance. How about 32% per year for investors in the stock while the market's averaged 11? It's tripled the returns of the market with no guarantees going forward. It has momentum in spades, and the valuation is much better than it looks in my app, which I will fix that today. I have a target price of about 150, and it's trading at $75 today. So there's a perfect example. If you believe in my methodology, if you believe that that's what's put me in the top 1.5% and in the top 4%, is combining value with momentum and quality. I buy quality companies, and it doesn't matter if it's a bond, it doesn't matter if it's an ultra growth, an emerging AA baseball type company, whether it's a large cap dividend payer. They have to have those criteria, and you can see the results as based on my overall ranking in the world that I live in. So anyways, if you'd like to put a top-ranked money manager to work for you, building your future, building your portfolios, and my team to work for you, you will get white glove service at Gunderson Capital Management. We pride ourselves on that. Give us a call. Is your advisor doing anything right now? There's some uncertain times ahead. This isn't the time to have your foot on the accelerator and say, just keep going ahead like we've been doing. Nah, I sense a little bit of a shift here away from the easy times that we've had since March of this year. Give us a call. We can mix or match the portfolios that we manage. We can make it as risk-free as you want or as aggressive as you want or anywhere in the middle. That's where my people come in and analyzing where you fit in that Richter scale, I guess you could call it. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or go to the website, GundersonCapital.com, look at the newsletter, look at the depth of research that we do all throughout the week. We encapsulate it on Friday, and we list everything we own and how our portfolios have done. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.